I was hanging out with Jane, and we were watching a show on Egypt, and they were talking about Ramesses II, and then they mentioned something about the amount of children he had, and I looked it up, and he had a crazy amount of children. And then through finding a list on Wikipedia of people with the most children, I found out this story.
Oh. We went
the
to
Wikipedia
the...
Wikipedia tunnel.
We went to the Egyptian exhibit at the Victoria Museum.
Yeah.
And there was, I remember thinking the same thing, like, because it had, like, each one of the, like, the pharaohs and then their children, and yeah. I was staring at it for so long, and I was like, no.
Yeah. Well, they had, like...
Yeah, he had a shit ton of kids.
Yeah, he had, like, 4 principal wives and then a whole bunch of lesser wives.
Yeah.
And all them kids. It's a crazy amount. So this is interesting because the person involved in this, there's not a lot known about him. So Charles Vance Miller was born in Aylmer, Ontario, Canada, in 1853. There's
Aylmer?
Aylmer, A-Y-L-M-E-R.
Okay. You heard of it?
We don't know his exact birthday.
Aylmer.
Don't know anything about his parents or anything like that. Just he was born there in 1853. We know he attended the University of Toronto, and he studied law, and he graduated with about 98% in pretty much all his classes.
Wow.
He's a very good student. And then he passed the bar exam and opened up his own law office in Toronto.
Okay.
As an adult, he had, like, a very private life, so again, not a lot is known about him, but he was investing in things. So we know he, like, in 1897, he purchased the BC Express Company, which was at the time, like, pretty much the only, like, kind of delivery service in BC.
Okay.
And then it was at the time when they were building the railroad through Canada and, like, building railroads up. So he had a lot of, like, he bought the BC Express and then he started expanding it, kind of a thing.
Oh.
He also was the president of O'Keefe Brewing Company and a very successful racing stable owner. But that's about that's all we know about him. So he died on October 31st, 1926, leaving behind what is probably the strangest but also most entertaining will.
Oh no.
So it began, this is the first quote of it. It says, "This will is necessarily uncommon and capricious because I have no dependents or near relations and no duty rests upon me to leave any property at my death. And what I do leave is proof of my folly in gathering and retaining more than I required in my lifetime." So then he had these bequests in his will, which are...
Oh, my God.
They're great. So, 3 men who were known to despise each other were granted joint lifetime tenancy in Miller's Jamaican vacation home.
What? Like, that he knew?
Yeah, he knew them.
Oh, okay. I was
but
like...
they hated each other.
Oh, my God.
7 prominent Toronto Protestant ministers, who were also hardcore temperance advocates, were to receive $700,000 worth of O'Keefe Brewery stocks. O'Keefe is a Catholic business. Only if they participated in its management and drew on its dividends.
Temperance is like a
sobriety.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And 3 fervid anti-horse racing advocates were to receive $25,000 worth of Ontario Jockey Club stock.
Oh my god. This man is like who we all wish we could be.
So they said a couple of sources that I looked at kept saying that he was, when he was alive, he liked to pull pranks on people and liked to pull jokes, but there wasn't really any evidence of it. The only example they had, apart from his will, was that he liked to play with people being greedy. Like, that was, like, his big thing. And one thing that they said he did, I guess, often enough for it to be on, like, his Wikipedia page and stuff, was he liked to put money on the street, like, drop, like, a $20 bill or something, and then go stand somewhere where he could see where the $20 bill was, but people couldn't see him. And he liked to watch it when people did that, like, there's money on the street, and did the, like, sneaky grab and, like, shove it in their coat. He just laughed. He would just watch people and be like, ha, 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 ha.
I mean.
So I don't know what his deal was.
I'd say like that
that's
they're
what
bored.
I would do.
So, most of those things above did, like, some of them were either found out to be jokes, or the courts were like, no, you can't do that. Or there was something weird about it.
Oh.
So I think he was just trying to to joke about it, but there was one thing he put in his will at the very end, which was that it, okay, so this is what he's most known for.
Yeah.
It required that the balance of Miller's estate was to be converted to cash 10 years after his death and given to the Toronto woman who gave birth to the most children in that 10-year period.
What?
If there was a tie, the bequest would be divided equally among the winners.
What?
So
now have we started a competition of who can have the most babies?
Well, most of the other stipulations were found to either be jokes. This is a quote from an article I found. And there's a guy, his last name is Orkin, and he was like a historian that wrote a whole bunch of this. It said, the most enduring controversy surrounding Clause 9, the portion of the will that pledged money to the mother with the largest family. According to Orkin, Miller went to great lengths to make sure this portion of the will was perfectly structured in order to withstand court challenges. So he went out of his way. The other things were like they found out his home in Jamaica, he had actually sold like 2 years before he died.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. But like this thing, he like purposely was like, no.
This is actually, yeah. I want this to be legally binding.
So. So despite numerous objections from people, there was like a birth control advocate that was like, this, you should not let people do this because it's going to make women act like breeding animals kind of a thing. There was other relatives that lived in California that were like, no, you have to give his money to us. Despite all that, the government went ahead with this competition and it became known as the Great Stork Derby.
Oh my god.
What?
So 11 families competed in this competition to get this guy's money.
Oh my god.
This is a quote from an article that I'll put on our website a link to this article. Someone actually went through and did like a intense research, and there's lots of quotes from the Orkin guy and stuff about this competition.
Oh my god.
So by 1933, 7 years into the contest, court interpreter Grace Bagnato led the way with 7 children born since Miller's death and another on the way. Florence Brown also had 7 children.
What's the span? 10 years?
10 years. So this is in seven years.
Seven.
So one woman had 7 children and was pregnant with another one in that 7-year time. Florence Brown also had 7, and other 3 women, Hilda Graziano, Emanuela Dorigo, and Clarence Kitts, all had 6 children since 1926. So many kids.
Yeah.
And none of them know that there's a depression about to hit.
Nope. So
that's the saddest part of this.
During the 10-year baby race, Attorney General William H. Price introduced a bill in the legislature that sought to claim that the Miller money should go to the province. So he put this through in 1932. Price hoped that Bill 141, entitled An Act Respecting the Estate of Charles Miller, Deceased, would remove both the mother's and his American descendants' claim to the money, and he was going to donate it to the University of Toronto, I think.
Okay.
Unfortunately for him, the bill provoked a furious public and political backlash, now deep in the grips of depression. This is from... the historian said, Charlie Miller's will was no longer a big joke. Instead, the Great Stork Derby had become the pie-in-the-sky dream of every subsistence family in Canada. So they all started it in, like, 1926. It was kind of like, yeah, we can compete for that. And then suddenly it was like, you had 4 children and the Depression hit. And they're like, no, we're really going for that money now. And some of them had children before the competition started. Like, they already had, like, 4 kids. And then suddenly they were like... let's just keep having babies.
Oh my god.
Price, the attorney or the politician that wanted to send like take the money and give it to the University of Toronto, he ended up receiving 14,000 letters that were expressing outrage at the idea of the government dipping into people's pockets to claim money for themselves.
Oh my god.
Nope. You're just upset.
I'm just upset. Could you imagine though if the government did pull out of that? Oh, like,
yeah, right?
You couldn't. There's no way they could possibly. As soon as you announce that it's on, no, you can't.
No.
Because now people have had children thinking there's going to be money to pay for them.
Well,
yeah.
Florence Brown, one of the women running to claim the money, she said the Ontario government is taking money from children that need it in regards to this bill.
Shut the fuck up.
And her husband.
Sorry.
her husband.
It's kind of halfway between both. It's super greedy to take everything and put it into something else when it was promised to these people, but at the same time, don't have like 12 fucking kids and then be like, we're super poor, we can't feed our family. Yeah, because you have 12 fucking kids.
Yeah, 12. Here's a quote from the article. Oh, God. The father of her 27 children. Oh my Henry God. Henry Brown.
What?
I was
How
like,
long
I
has
was
this been
over,
happening?
I was overestimating too. No, like so, I was like,
some
being
of those kids
gracious.
Were born before, but still, she had 27 children.
I need to know, when did this competition start?
1926.
And what year is it?
Now it's 1930 something. 1933.
Okay.
Anyway, wow. The father of these 27 children who is trying to have more children to get money said, the government is hungry for money, but we're not going to let them have it without a fight.
Oh my God.
He's just hiding behind the newspaper.
You just see smoke coming out the top.
So eventually.
Well, yeah, because if they don't get it.
Yeah.
They're going to be like on the street. Like it's going to be like fucking like Monty Python.
So anyway, that didn't happen. The government didn't take the money. In 1935, a year before the end, Lily and Kenny.
The end.
Lily and Kenny was top of the table with 11 of her 15 children having been born from between 1926 and 1936. And then Lucy Timlick and Kathleen Nagel were tied for second with 9 children born between those 10 years.
Flo and her 27 aren't even on the top?
No.
Holy shit.
Flo. Oh, Flo.
So Grace Bagnato, who led the race in 1933, was now in a 5-way tie for third place with Hilda Graziano, Emanuela Dorigo, Madeline Harrison, and Florence Brown, who had the 27 children. So she's in third place.
Wow.
At what perspective?
Was it worth it?
A quote from the article, it says, it's easy to picture these families risking their health and well-being for a chance at Miller's prize money, but it appears a chance at the cash wasn't the primary motivator. Grace Bagnato, when questioned, pointed out that she already had 13 children before the Derby began. Quote, I had all my children but one before I had any intention of putting my name for it as a contender. So most women, it appeared, would have had large families regardless of any reward. But once it was
not
there,
the one
it was kind of like...
I thought we had large families.
This is crazy, right?
Well, this is all taking place in Ontario?
Yeah.
Live and learn. That's not to say the money wasn't a major factor.
I feel like we might have just found out something about our family history.
Most of the women in the competition were desperately poor, living in dire conditions while trying to provide for extremely large families. The majority of the front runners relied almost entirely on government relief money. So.
Really? They couldn't pay for 27 kids?
No.
That's surprising.
It's weird, right? My ear's itchy. Pause.
Okay, play.
So it took them a while. So the competition ended in 1936, and it took the government a while to figure out if they were actually going to give these women money or who actually got money. There's some sad things involved in this that we're not going to talk about, but some women felt that they had technically had more children, but they didn't have living children. So there was a whole bunch of stuff around that. So in 1938, 4 women received a cut of Miller's fortune, which amounted to upwards of $500,000. So that was Lucy Timlick, Kathleen Nagel, Annie Smith, and Isabel McLean all got checks for $125,000, which was about $2 million in 2016 money.
Wow. Good for them.
So,
I guess.
Newly flushed with cash, the working husband's
body was just wrecked. Destroyed. Well,
yeah. Newly flushed with cash, newly flushed with cash, the working husbands of Annie Smith, Lucy Timlick, and Isabel McLean left their jobs, all moved to more spacious homes, and there was little in the way of conspicuous spending.
Yeah, how long is that going to last?
Product endorsements or public appearances. Quote, you needn't worry about us going out to buy Casa Loma or Chorley Park, which is the official residence of the Lieutenant General, said John McLean, husband of Isabel McLean. With us, life will go on as though nothing has happened. So
we're at the end of the story and you just throw John McLean in there.
I'd buy Casa Loma.
So you would buy Casa Loma if you had $2 million?
I love Casa Loma. Way more than $2 million now.
Isn't it a museum though?
Yeah.
Do you just want to live in the museum?
Yeah.
Just have it roped off like
Marcy at the museum.
Yeah.
It's just her and Ben Stiller
hanging out. Ew, no.
Ew.
He just annoys me. Oh. I don't like him. I'm sure he's a very nice person, maybe, but...
He backed out on that pretty quick.
Yeah,
it's either him or Steve Coogan and Owen Wilson. That's what you get to pick between.
Steve Coogan.
No. Steve Coogan and Owen Wilson. Oh. They're a package deal.
But they're both small.
Yeah.
Why they're both tiny. They small?
They're tiny in the movie.
No. Right at the museum. Oh, no. Oh, they're like little miniatures. You'd love that.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're like little cow. They're like.
Yeah. They're little. They're like from the little tiny miniature scenes. One's from like the Wild West miniature scene. The other one's.
I don't know.
British? I don't know.
Yeah.
British? Like a Revolutionary British War scene. Thing.
Yeah. Owen Wilson's actually the British one. Really, yeah. Weird. Really weird. Yeah. They wanted to
mix things up a bit.
Flex their accent.
Fly Steve Coogan in and then just ignore him. I still pick Steve Coogan.
Actually, he plays Owen Wilson.
Wow.
I would pick Rami Malek because he's in those as well.
He is too. Yeah.
Is he?
He's a pharaoh.
Yeah, he plays a pharaoh.
Seriously. Yeah. That's my choice.
No.
Yes.
It wasn't listed.
I'd still pick us.
I also didn't let you pick Robin Williams. So.
Oh, I didn't know he was in that. Yeah.
Yeah, he plays, not FDR, sorry, Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he falls in love with Sacagawea, I think.
Yep.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. It's a weird movie.
It's a very weird movie.
Yeah, I kind of forgot it even existed. I've never seen it.
We got off track really.
Sorry. Would you rather eat?
Oh God. 11 plates of pasta
or compete have to have children?
Babies. Eat or compete? Eat. Me, I would rather. What's the number? What are we talking about here? Like, am I a winner or am I somebody who just tried and gave up halfway through?
Because
I mean, as far as children.
I mean, so let's say because these women basically had to have a child a year.
Yeah.
Maybe stacking them sometimes, like there might be twins or something in there. But so at least
imagine
once a year.
If you got like triplets and that you'd be like, I think that's the only way that one woman won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the woman with the 27 like, kids didn't.
No.
Win.
I know, but the one who had 11 versus like the 9 or something.
Yeah, she probably had. Anyway,
twins or something.
So you had to do that every year. So let's say you either have to have a child every year, so like be pregnant every year, or you have to compete against various ostriches eating pasta
every year,
once a year.
Pasta. Love pasta.
Yeah, but like so much that you're going to like, your stomach's going
to
explode.
You have to eat 11 plates of pasta.
You have to play to win.
Am I going to die the first time I do it?
No, like your stomach's
not
literally
going to
explode.
I guess it's the same risk as childbirth back then.
Yeah.
Either way, you might die. So, I don't know. I feel like.
I'd still pick the pasta.
Yeah, so would I.
I think I still pay.
You don't
the
have
pasta.
To feed the pasta after you eat it. Like you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't have to clothe it.
You just have to lie on your back and
digest it.
I mean, your stomach's
it
like,
lasts a couple days of being hurt, but
I wouldn't be able. Well, the thing is that I wouldn't be able to eat 11 plates of pasta. Sometimes I can only eat like one,
and barely that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's fun, right?
Yeah.
Is that crazy? That's
I can't
insane. I've never
that.
Heard of that before.
Me neither. Well, yeah. That's insane.
Baby contest.
I feel bad for all the people who didn't win. At what point
that's
do
what
you
I was
stop?
Saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
as soon as I
you
heard
realize
someone,
you're in third and it's getting close, and
well,
like,
as soon as I heard somebody had 27 kids, whether they made it into the top or not, I was like, I'm way out of my league. I'm out.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? But it's also like,
and in the depression, like,
mm-hmm.
But like, and I'm curious because I didn't really look into it because there was that
jobs,
like birth control
right?
advocate that was like, no, we shouldn't do this. But like, I guess probably birth control. These are probably people that are like living kind of more like. I guess not totally rule because they know about the contest going on. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say probably not well off. And then, no,
definitely
like,
not well off. Like, multiple children in a bed and wearing, like, I'm picturing just, like, scraps of clothing and, like, yeah. You know. Yeah.
But, like, that's probably...
Do you think they sold their children after the contest ended?
Oh, I hope not.
But we're not going to win. So many people did that.
I know, but I hope not.
Drop them. Drop them at orphanage.
Look, there was no moral clause in this contract.
But yeah, but there must have not been any birth control at all. Like, it must literally have been... Like, that woman had 27 kids, and she had most of those kids before the contest started. It must literally have been, I have a baby, and then it's like the next time you sleep with your husband, you're like, and we're having another baby.
Yeah, especially if you're Catholic.
Yeah. So they must all be like 1 year apart. Like, it must be like my 21-year-old, my 20-year-old, my 19-year-old, my 18-year-old, my 17-year-old.
It's just like, ugh.
And my four babies at various stages.
Yeah. Or like you're 27 and your mom is still having a kid.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks to be that oldest.
This is my baby brother.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, that's what's the age gap between our parents, like, and their siblings. Because I was a kid, I was staying at grandma's house, and Aunt Kathy was like 19, 18, somewhere like in her late teens.
Yeah.
And like had a bedroom there and everything. Like, she was like a late teenager when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And that was mom's youngest sister. So... Same?
Yeah.
Same. Those Ontario...
It's cold, those, Ontario winters.
Those fertile Ontario women. Those cold winters.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, that's bonkers.
Bonkers!
But again, I found that out in like...
That's
like
amazing.
Months ago, and I was like, I just can't wait to tell everyone about this.
I hate that. I need to keep it.
I want there to be surprise to it.
Thanks, Allie. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you don't have 27 children?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it could be like a like Katherine Heigl esque like rom com. 27 children.
Katherine Heigl.
Because she has that 27 dresses.
Oh.
27 children.
Like, don't bring her into this house.
Her eyes are just like bleeding.
Why would that happen?
She doesn't know a lot about labor.
No, it's just like she can never sleep. And, okay, ears bleeding? I don't know.
No, nothing's bleeding.
Oh, okay. Well, something's bleeding.
One of the competitions somewhere in the world, they have a baby crying competition. I'm not quite sure what that entails, but it sounds awful.
Spank it!
Well, that's a good time as any time this episode.
Maybe follow us somewhere. I don't know. I gotta go home now.